Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur 100. Episode vom Podcast Herz zu Herz. Mein Name ist Jeanette Orzechowski-Darrington und schön hörst du rein und hier das kleine Jubiläum 100 Podcast-Episoden. Ich bin so dankbar, dass du reinhörst und dabei bist, ein Teil davon bist und die Zuhörerzahlen, die wachsen und das macht mich einfach happy. Vielen Dank, es macht mir super Spaß, den Podcast jede Woche aufzunehmen. Und heute habe ich wieder die Ehre, genauso wie in Episode 50, dass Tom mir ein paar Fragen stellt. Fragen von euch, von der Community, aber auch Fragen, die er kreiert hat. Und wir sprechen über wirklich unser Familienleben, über Energie, aber auch über, ja, wie wir sonst einfach so das Leben meistern und managen. Bis hin zu ein paar ganz, ganz easy und coolen Fragen, die Tom mir stellt. So lehn dich zurück, lass dich inspirieren und wie immer, nimm einfach das mit, was für dich inspirierend ist, spannend ist. Und ich wünsche dir einfach einen wunderschönen Moment und wie gesagt, schön bist du dabei.
So, here we are, 50 episodes on since we last talked. Well, not talked. We talked in between sometimes. But yeah, unbelievable. 50 episodes on and now this is the 100th episode of your podcast. It's such a good achievement. So let me just describe the scene here. We have a one-month-year-old baby sitting on your lap at the moment. If you hear any weird noises, it's not me. But yeah, how are you feeling at this moment?
Oh, thanks for asking. I wanted to know the question. I wanted to know the question before, and he said, "No, I'm not telling you." Thanks. I'm feeling good. I feel like I'm not alone anymore for the moment. I feel like I always carried a little baby around, which is just interesting how quickly you forget how they need you very much, like how unabhängig, sagt man das so? Nein, how abhängig das Leben jetzt ist. And before I just felt I was so free. So it is interesting, but I feel like I'm definitely needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely true. You're very much needed. He at the moment doesn't like to spend more than a few minutes without his mum, so yeah, don't go anywhere. Yeah, so now we're a family of, he's just being sick over your back. Now we're a family of five, and we've got a new chapter, I guess. Still trying to manage various projects and work and children. So, yeah, I guess my first question then would be how do you manage family life alongside all the projects you have, your podcast, your studio, your online Inspiredly, and all the various other things, teacher trainings, the list goes on. How do you manage it all?
I think I just do it, you know. I think I don't like have a big schedule or then I do this and then this. I just I think one thing where I'm really good in is that I don't always need perfection. Like even I noticed I recorded a podcast during my walk, you know, with baby noises and noises around me. So I think I handled it all together somehow. Sometimes you would find me reading an inspirational chapter of a book because I'm so into that and the kids are playing or thinking about what do I teach, but I'm with the kids. So often I just go with the flow, you know. I don't really have that scheduled, okay, now I do this and now I do this. Of course, my work time is often at the evenings or nights when the kids are asleep. Then it's the time where I just feel like, okay, now I really want to create or do something. But yeah, even this sometimes doesn't work because the kids maybe once in a while are awake late night. So I just feel like I go with the flow. And then at the moment I have a period where I really fully
dive into that family life and being a mother. So I don't expect any other things to grow or being super creative. But then I know there comes a time where I feel like, okay, maybe I have less time for family, but then I'm more into work. So both parts are really important for me. And this is just recently I thought, I personally cannot be just a mom. I wouldn't be a good mom because I wouldn't really feel fulfilled. So I really need that other part of me where I love to create and to bring new things into the world and inspire others and grow by myself. This is one part, but maybe I can ask you, Tom, the same. How do you manage it all? Because we are so similar. We both have projects going on. We both, maybe to say here, work 50%, 50%, like 50% means one is with the kids and the other one works, and then we swap usually around lunch, and then the other one goes and walk and the other person is with the kids. So how do you manage that, Tom? Maybe I ask you.
Flipping it around. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a bit different to you in that sense where you can just prepare a class while kids are jumping over you and you're cooking the dinner with one hand, and you know, you can multitask very well, I think, and I'm not very good at that at all.
No.
Yeah. She's shaking her head. So yeah, I kind of need to schedule that little, even if it's just a half an hour or an hour, where I'm kind of focused on doing what I'm doing, whether it's work or whether it's a new project or whatever. And then I find that then I can, when I'm with the kids, I really like to be with the kids. So I sort of try and separate it up a bit. Yeah, but I think that's just because I'm not very good at juggling various things. I get a bit stressed. Do you get stressed out when you have too much in your mind? Like for me, if I was trying to do some work on the side and the kids were wanting my attention and the dinner needed cooking, I think I would find that I get a bit flustered. Do you find that?
Yeah, I think if there are too many things at the same time and then stuff in the head, then of course it would stress me a little bit. But I think I can manage that quite good. That multitasking thing is definitely, I'm good in that. But I enjoy that very much. You know, it's not that I'm less present then. So I try to really do everything full.
How do you manage stress? How do you manage when you're feeling like things are too much?
That is a good question, because I still don't think I can manage those situations very well. I had one situation this morning. Tom went for a run, and every kid, we actually agreed that every person, I mean I'm and you, every person, has in the morning an hour for themselves, because we noticed that we are better parents, we are better couples, we are better in everything when we just have an hour for ourselves. And this morning Tom went for a run, and that was just, it started really easy and then everything just went totally wrong. Like I think all three kids had a shit at the same time and then they cried and fighted, and it was just one situation where I just thought, why did you now went for a run? So it's wrong, but I, in that moment, I think I blamed you to leave me in that state.
I should have gone for a 2-hour run.
Yeah. So often when Tom runs, I said, oh, please come back. No, but I think I'm really, maybe I'm quickly stressed in those situations, but I'm also really quickly okay afterwards. You know, I don't last long in those situations. I sometimes become very quick loud or say to the kids, hey, stop now. We have to figure out what we do first and stuff. But after, let's say, 5 or 10 minutes, I'm back okay. And I always, in those situations, when I went through them afterwards, I have changed all the kids, I have managed to fight, and then I thought, okay, and now it's a moment for myself. So I calmed the situation, I actually let the little baby for maybe 30 seconds just be a bit unsettled, and then I just made a coffee for myself. So I see how can I do something for myself right after. So as a little bit, okay, survived. Now I'm doing a moment for myself. Or I sit for a second and breathe and so on. Yeah. Do you have anything? How do you? You never have those situations, because it doesn't look like you're so strong, so stressed.
Yeah, I'm probably a bit more tolerant of stress than you, maybe. We always have a joke in as a couple, like occasionally Janet will just say to me, I can't anymore. And then when I hear those words, I can't anymore, then I know, okay, she needs that at least the next hour for herself. but you put out Instagram for questions to come in for this podcast, and yeah, one of the questions was about this managing time for yourself and as a family, which I think you've answered really well. But another question related to that actually was how do we manage time as a couple? So you've talked about finding time for yourself and me. How do we manage time as a couple?
Yeah, I'm going to give that question back to you in a second. But I think we also agreed that this is a period in our life where we maybe don't have so much time together as quality time, because we have a 6-year-old daughter who just talks endless, like she can't stop talking. So sometimes today on our walk, we just said, okay, Rosalie, now please stop for a second, because now we actually enjoy a talk, you know. So it's not so easy to find really quality time, but I think we just appreciate having 10 minutes longer dinner when the kids finished and they play, or the evenings at the couch. Usually I get a foot massage, and we all, even sometimes I work on projects or Tom does something, but we just spend that moment together. But of course it is something what we wish to have more, and we decided for a while ago that we are looking for a babysitter or somebody who helps us, and we have one morning or one formittag for ourselves, so we can maybe go for a swim together, or we used to have that Wednesday morning playing ping pong and so on. So just really things who bring joy to us, and yeah, sometimes we get a takeaway dinner and we enjoy dinner when the kids are in bed. And the interesting thing is, because we met and then basically a few months later I was pregnant, we never really had such a couple time. So I think it's for everybody different. I guess if you are with your partner 10 years before you started a family, it might be totally different than for us. What do you think, Tom? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we find strange times to have couple time, like, you know, when we're doing the Buchhaltung, for instance, for our business, you know, it might not sound like the most wild, crazy couple time, but yeah, you know, in actual fact it's at least an hour where we're kind of together, and often just joking and laughing while we're doing it, so it sort of feels like we're spending time together.
And I think what really is our couple time and so amazing is that we always have projects together. Like we have something what we do together, like might it be that Buchhaltung, where we spend at the moment even nights when the kids are in bed together on the floor doing that, or we have ideas creating together. I think this is my little advice if somebody maybe is on a part of a relationship where it needs support or something. It's find projects together, or you know, something where you support each other. Before we had always a dream together, or we always have dreams together, but where we looked online, or where we tried to, okay, how can we make that dream come true, and so on. Like, I think for us, it's really cool to have little things together, or we do those baby albums, photo albums together. Usually I am the one who says, come, we do that. Or a vision board, or just something where we feel, oh, recently we were painting a bit together, like just something once in a while. I mean, I'm not talking from every day.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, we were talking the other day that it would be nice to go to a party and you know, do the more traditional things as a couple, go out for dinner, but like you said, those things are not really possible right now with the kids and with the latest one especially. So yeah, it's all about finding couple time in strange areas, I suppose. Cool. So the other question that came in then, having talked about all your all these projects and busy life, where do you find the energy to continue with these projects and the family?
Yeah, I will also give that back, because we are very similar to that. But I just really believe and I feel I have endless energy, you know. I'm really quickly charging my batteries. Like I can be totally exhausted and I take a really deep rest or a visualization or a meditation, 5 minutes sometimes, or a shower or a coffee or whatever, or a little walk, and then I'm totally back in my energy. And I think this is something where I'm really good in charging my energy and using it for all the other stuff. And I personally decided once that if I get too tired in something, and I remember when I worked for jobs or something, which I really feel like, okay, they were nice, but it wasn't really my thing, that took a lot of energy out of me. And I worked for an office and I went home to have a little nap. And now I would never think about taking a nap, you know, after my work, because I'm so excited to continue working. So I just think, okay, how do I have a little rest so I can just continue working? I think for me it is doing what I really enjoy doing, and then I also have all that energy to do it. And you too, Tom? How do you?
Yeah,
you're never tired, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I am. I've started taking those little granddad naps. No, 10 minutes. I set my alarm for 10 minutes and lie down. But yeah, no, I think that was going to be my answer, that I do lose my energy quickly if I'm doing something that I don't enjoy. Whereas if I'm onto something that I enjoy, then it's a different feeling, and I don't feel like it's taking my energy. So it's I guess it's about finding what you love to do. Okay, so with some of those questions out of the way, then I've scribbled down a few questions that I don't think I've ever asked you in one of our conversations, so I'm quite interested to know the answer, and hopefully your millions of listeners on your podcast are interested as well. Okay, so the first one: your favorite coffee shop is Petit Couture, right? Yeah, they do great coffee. Everyone should try it. If you were to meet anyone, either living or dead, or from history, you could meet one person in there for a coffee and a Gipfeli, who would it be?
That's a horrible question, because, you know, I don't know anybody. And I always joke with Tom because I am probably the most loser in those stuff, because I never watch those movies. I always say to Tom, the only actor or actress I know is...
It doesn't have to be someone from the movie. Okay. It could be anyone. Okay. Maybe you've read a book from them. Maybe you...
Okay, I see. I think it would be really Maria Teresa. I think I would have a good laugh or a good coffee with her. No, I think she has been a great human on the world. But I also would like to, if I can travel back, would probably meet Jesus to see what he really said to his folk and to everybody. And... Oh, there are many inspirational people where I would like to meet. But I think those are the ones where I would be really interested to travel back there.
I'm not sure. Mother Teresa wouldn't probably have a coffee.
Or a glass of wine.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So next question then. Now, I know that this is like a dream of yours to write a book. If you were to write a book tomorrow, what would the book be about?
Interesting question, because I haven't really picked that idea of a book up recently, because somehow, those goals also change, and I just love what I do. But I think I always wanted to inspire, but maybe also... help and show people, or not help, but maybe motivate people to just live their life what they really want to live, but also to wake up. Like, this is for me something, of course, we have all always heard it, that awakening and enlightening, but that kind of like waking up and realizing how beautiful life is, or our habits, or the lifestyle we have, or the lifestyle we would like to have, like this opening eye where we think, hey, we are responsible for our life and we can change things to a certain amount. I think this would be my topic and my my book.
What if you weren't doing what you're doing now, if you weren't a yoga teacher, if you didn't have these online projects, what do you think you would be doing?
I think at the state now where I am now at the moment, I would probably enjoy a lot of stuff and doing other stuff maybe for my enjoyment. I think I would have a nice little flower shop, serving coffee, and I inspire with flowers, and then I would just probably chat to every person to get to know them and just give them a really nice experience coming into my flower shop and maybe with nice inspiring quotes somewhere, and just like, yeah, something like this. Is that a good business idea? Yeah.
Janet's flower shop coming to Burns soon. Cool. And okay, the last question I've just scribbled down is, what do you wish you'd known 10 years ago that you feel like you know now? So 10 years ago when you were 15?
10 years ago, so I would be 24. I wanted to know that, hey, everything is fine. You don't have to try so hard, or you don't have to worry. You don't have to rush things. You can just enjoy it and go by the flow, or go with the flow, because things unfold. You will meet the right people and you will get the right ideas, and just relax and enjoy life. I think that is what I probably would have told my 24-year-old person. Very interesting question, because I think 24 was a time where it was not easy, or where there were a lot of decisions made, or where do I live and how do I continue. So I think I just would relax, come, everything will be fine at the end, you know, and if not, then it's not the end.
What were you doing at 24?
I don't know exactly, but I think I was already living here in Switzerland, a bit back and forward, finishing my university and figuring a bit things out, how I want to continue, with who. It was probably a time where I just didn't really know where my life goes, which I think is probably the topic of more 24 or 23-year-old people. So if somebody listens that young, then I just relax and enjoy your life. But I always were connected to that belly feeling, you know. Sometimes I never really had problems making decisions, because I think things unfold, and when you are really connected to your intuition, then you just know, is it this or this, you know, is it right or left, or do I have to change my city, or do I have to live now here, and so on. So I think, yeah, that intuition and that belly feeling I always had very strong, so I always knew, okay, this is the next step, you know. Yeah, same to you, huh? I mean, you have that mm-hmm. intuition very strong. Mm-hmm. We were just
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's still going on for us as well, isn't it? It's not like you ever get to the point and think this is it, right? I don't think we're there. I don't think we feel like, okay, this is, everything's perfect, this is fine, because we sometimes talk about, you know, wonder what it'd be like to live in different countries, or do different jobs, or, you know, different lifestyles or so. Mm-hmm. I think we still kind of contemplate those things, but maybe now we're more willing to go with the flow of it.
Yes, and I think as soon as we think about those things, like saying, okay, how should we do it? Should we live a year in England and so on? Then they become very like head things. So personally, I think more things like that, they somehow drop in front of your feet, and then we step onto them and say, yes, we take that next step, or we change. But I do think it is important to value what we have in this moment, and we have such a wonderful life. That really reminds me of the question of our 6-year-old daughter yesterday at dinner, or the day before, when she said, Mom, are we actually rich? And Tom and me, we both looked at each other and thought, okay, what do we answer? And I remember I grow up, and we always had enough, you know. We always we were very lucky. We lived in a rent apartment, but we always had all those food we wanted. We had holidays, you know, like we had always enough, and we never got that feeling of we are poor or something. And so I thought yesterday, I was thinking for a moment, and then I said to her, "Hey, Rosalie, we are really rich. We have everything. We can go to the shops. We can eat. We can do traveling. We can have actually free time. We can get toys. We really just we can love each other. We are actually really rich." Mm. It is an interesting question. I can't remember. What did you tell her?
Yeah, no, that's what we said. And then she said, "Okay, can you buy me a horse?" And then we had to change our answer. But no, it's it's very, very true. Like, we've got plenty to feel rich about.
And it's also really nice to tell or to let our kids know that, hey, what is that? You know, what is rich? I mean, it's also difficult to not compare, to say, oh yeah, there are people who have not this much, but, you know, maybe they have more because they don't value the money thing. So it's an interesting question. I want to know what you guys think on the other side of the podcast, if that question would come up.
Perfect. You? So, okay, so then just finally, I thought you might want to just explain a little bit about what's coming up in the next, before we speak again, in the 150th episode. What's coming? I mean, obviously at the moment you're strapped to a baby, and work is perhaps a little bit more difficult, but what can everyone expect to see?
Ta-ta-ta-ta, me. No, I'm looking forward to go back to teaching, of course. I will, but very limited, a few classes. And I'm really so happy about Inspiredly because it changed the whole idea. And before I gave birth to Edmund, like a few months before, I was so in that process of I really felt like I need to change that idea. Something is not quite right. And I had a few nights on the couch talking to Tom, and I said, okay, what is missing? Like, I know something is not really right. And then all of a sudden, like, really, I realized it will change. So it changed now. Maybe you have noticed it. It's on a new platform. And it's not just me now, it's actually, there will be new courses about meditation, yoga, but also other mindfulness and coaching ideas with me, but also with other people. And what I like personally is learning something or trying something out in my life, which I can do in the time I want, like online. But so we have created different day modules, like just right now, we have created a 5-day online module for Die Werte finden und erkennen, values, where also Tom from the positive psychology idea is bringing in an exercise, meditation, journaling. So, and that will continue every month, maybe every other month. There is a big module where you can just sign up. It's a little membership for $29.90. And you can drop out anytime. And then you will find there are always new little modules. And I really promise you, I give my best to inspire you by myself, but also with other people. It's so cool. So maybe check it out.
And the flower shop, maybe next year.
Or maybe I gotta do that in the next life.
Sounds nice. Hey, yeah. So thanks for answering my questions so openly and honestly, and congratulations again on an amazing achievement to get to 100 podcast episodes. I can't wait to talk again on 150.
Next time, maybe I ask you a few questions because Tom didn't want that. He was a little bit like, I'm not the center of attention, so we are in that case a little bit different. But the next time you are on a few questions, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Vielen Dank fürs Reinhören heute in diese 100. Episode und auf noch ganz viele weiteren Episoden im Podcast Herz zu Herz. Schön, wenn du mir irgendwo ein Feedback hinterlässt, auf iTunes eine Rezension hinterlässt oder auch diesen Podcast empfiehlst oder weiterleitest. Und Wir freuen uns, dich irgendwo zu treffen, vielleicht in unserem Yoga Luna Studio oder auch sonst irgendwo. Und ja, einfach von Herzen ein Danke, dass du diesen Podcast hörst. Ja, ohne dich würde ich das jetzt auch nicht machen.